Shemuvas Uri'i V'hatios Nech. Listen, my daughter. See, bend your ear. V'shichi Ameich Uveis Avich. Forget your nation and Uveis Avich and your father. Let's do another two psukim, and we'll come back and translate it one word for word. The Yitzav HaMelech Yafyech, and the king will desire, your son means the Shatai will desire your beauty. Ki hu Adonaiich V'hishtach Aviloi. He is your master, and you will bow to him. Uvasor. Here's probably where the Mitzvah started. The Malbim felt that over here, dealing here with the daughter of Tsar, the topic, the subject of this Mitzvah is Shloimoi HaMelech. When he married the daughter of Tsar, Uvasor B'mincha, with the Mincha, Panaych Yachalu, your face where they will seek to find favor, Shirei on the wealthy of the people. Okay, this is a very hard pasuk. These are three pasukim that are very difficult. Let's see what's in the Mitzudos done first. The Mitzudos is on page 411. Shimi Vas. Lichu Umos Yoimah. Who is David HaMelech speaking to? He's speaking to the nations of the world. To the nations of the world, call Idrina Shimi, listen, Uri'i, and see. The Havana said, here, let's see, the Zamin literally means understand. The Hati Oznech Ben Yuri, what Hati means Ben Yuri, listen carefully. Meshmoyat listen, Mechulash Yitzad Melech HaMashiach, Erne, the Melech HaMashiach will command you. Gulunna the Mitzudas, the Mitzudas is Lishitosoi. The Mitzudas has consistently understood that this Mizmor is Lili Melech HaMashiach. David here is now telling his times that Mashiach has arrived, Mashiach is beautiful, Mashiach has all the miles, the joy, all the different types of joy that one can have in this world, like we mentioned about the shame, the hechle shame, the shegel, the b'nai smalachim, will be at your honor. All the different delicacies, different tainugim of this world has been given to the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is exquisitely beautiful, and he's wise, and he's accepted among mankind. Now we go to part two. Now that the Melech HaMashiach is here, we are making demands that every nation in the world pay attention. Every nation will listen carefully to the instructions of the Melech HaMashiach. We're calling them Shimi Vas. Vas of here means is a metaphor for the nations of the world. Uri'i, look. Look on here means your mind should look. Bend your ear. And the Shichi Ameich, what does it mean, the Shichi Ameich? Ritzoy Lelemar in the Mitzudeis, the third line, Lo Tiyah Batsasu Mois HaMishkochim Achar Goy Gulochim Melech HaMashiach. Take sides. Forget your affiliation, your association, your loyalty to other nations. So Melech HaMashiach is going to come, they are going to be, you have no idea how it's going to play out. The truth is, the Mochamas HaMashiach is already in place. We're going on since the time of the Churban, just in a way that we don't understand. But every nation is going to be challenged. In Lahashem, L'chur Acharav. V'im Labal, L'chur Acharav. Mo'at Yatav Posech HaShnei HaSifim. Whose side are you on? Are you on Hashem's side, or are you on the opposition? Goy Gumar. And don't give me this excuse that, you know, I've been loyal to my this host nation. This nation has supported us, was good to us. It doesn't matter. When it comes to evil, just because you have been affiliated with a certain nation does not mean that now you also have to go and pledge your loyalty to that nation. You have to make a decision. Whose side do you want to be on? And God is telling them, Shikhi, forget about the past. Forget about your affiliation with your nation, with the people that you associate with, because they are evil and they are wrong. And don't continue down that path. One more time, these very powerful words. V'shichi ameich ritzon v'amar lo tiyah ba'atzas ke'umos ha'nishachanim shochim achagor. Do not be together in the council of the evil nations that continue to go after evil, goyim or goyim of the evil nations, the lochim to fight in Melech HaMashiach. Pasuk next, pasuk in base, v'yis of oz, then Yis'aveh Melech HaMashiach as Yifik Kishon Ma'asecha, the Melech HaMashiach will find favor in you. He will desire the beauty of your good deeds. The Oz Yenuach Loch, you'll have peace. Ki Hu Yiyeh Adonai, he will be your new master. The Ad Tishtachat Yilo, you'll bow to him. Olo Yeunel Loch Ro'ah, nothing harmful will come to you. Ki Yoseich Olaich Bitzim, because he will shelter you in his shade. Pasuk Gimel, Uvasor, Gam Adas Tzor, Bahavoas Mincha Yivachshu Panayich, the nation of Tzor, by bringing a gift, will seek the Melech HaMashiach, Lamalo Yishelosan, V'im Kihema Ho Ashirim, Shebuchol Am V'chashuv Mikulam. So you can say over here, Yisrael will say over here, look, all you nations that are wavering and cannot decide if you want to take sides with Melech HaMashiach, look at Tzor. He's making a prediction. He's making a very fascinating prediction. The kingdom of Tzor at the time of Mashiach will be the wealthiest nation in the world. And they will bring a gift to the Melech HaMashiach, basically asking the Melech HaMashiach to take them under his wings. So if they, the richest people, the wealthiest nation, are going to pledge loyalty to the Melech HaMashiach, al achas kama v'kama, that is a musar haskel for all of the other nations that are not in that league, they also should pledge their allegiance to the Melech HaMashiach and not join goig umog. Okay, so there are three psukim according to the Mishnah. It's a very fascinating description of what's going to take place on the Mashiach. One thing that you do learn that I don't really recall seeing this in such explicit terms, like the Mishnah, is that the war of Yemos HaMashiach will be goig umogoig against the Melech HaMashiach. I don't think the average person looks like that. The average person looks like there's goig umogoig fighting against Klal Yisrael. And the Melech HaMashiach is not necessarily involved in this war. In fact, maybe the Melech HaMashiach will come after. I mean, what exactly is the Melech HaMashiach going to come? Is the Melech HaMashiach going to come before? All this is very vague. Will the Melech HaMashiach come before the Melech HaMashiach? Will the Melech HaMashiach come after the Melech HaMashiach? Even if the Melech HaMashiach comes before the Melech HaMashiach, whoever said that the Melech HaMashiach is involved in the war? He's just on the side. He's on the side. He's out there. People want to go for his bracha. But the war has a life of its own. And this, the way you learn Shan Dishuk, so you get the impression that the Melech HaMashiach will be calling the shots. He will be the general that will be waging the war against Goy Gumogli. And here, this Mizmar, David, whoever composes Mizmar, is telling the Umay Yisraelim, if you're smart, you will join the Melech HaMashiach and be on his side of the battle, and not Goy Gumogli, and there will be a nation called Tzar, Tyre, which doesn't really exist today as far as I know. Okay, there's some island out there that's called Tyre. Is there some place called Tyre today? Crete?
Yeah, there's it's a city
in
Lebanon.
A city in Lebanon. Okay, is that city in Lebanon really, it seems like a nation. There's a nation called Tyre, Tsar, or whatever it is. It doesn't seem like Lebanon is a player here, but...
The other name is Tunisia.
What's it called again? Tunisia? Phoenicia. Okay, so whatever it is, there's going to be a nation that's going to be the wealthiest nation, and they will submit themselves to the Melech HaMashiach. Let's read the Pesukim one more time according to the Perish. Yeah.
Melech HaMashiach represents the
that's exactly the point. These Pesukim seem to indicate the Melech HaMashiach is going to be the general and the head of state, the commander-in-chief of the war of Muhammad's Goyim Mother. Is that the impression?
Melech is the role model. And David Melech was a warrior king, and maybe that someone will be like him.
Okay, absolutely. That's what it seems. But I, for some reason, I'm always wrong.
Mashiach will
so that's
materialize
Before the war?
That's the Mashiach will materialize after the Jews have the war.
So that's the Mashiach. When is the Melech HaMashiach coming? Is the Mashiach coming before Melech HaMashiach coming after Melech HaMashiach coming?
My personal belief, from what I have inculcated in my mind, is that
Melech
HaMashiach already happened.
Okay, or it's still in the process of happening.
Okay,
right, so that you're right, absolutely. There are many different layers, different ways to understand the whole
understanding that Melech is here.
The whole, yeah, all right, so who's Melech HaMashiach? So some will argue that, let's look at Eiv. Who is Eiv? Okay, the most satisfying interpretation, who is Eiv? The one provides like 8 interpretations. Who is Eiv? When exactly did he live? Which era did he live? And some of the Farshim, and then there's one opinion that says Eve never existed. There is no Eve. It's make believe. Eve is a mashal. There was never such a person by the name of Eve, and all this has happened to him. Everything that's written says Eve is just a mashal. So someone come along, the big Darshan come along, this is very famous one, they say, Elu the Elu Dimur Lukim Chai. There were many eons. There wasn't one specific person that lived, and his name was Eoid, and he lived in an era, and he suffered exactly what it says the same to Eoid, and had 3 friends, and had these very deep conversations which are subject to numerous limitations. There was no such one person. However, throughout history, there were many, many people who suffered. There was a person who suffered in this time of Moshe, and the time of the Shofim, and the time of the Nevi'im. There were multiple people in history who suffered, had incredible blessing, and suffered, and had very deep conversations with their friends as to the reason for their suffering. And Sefer Eiv is a composite of the totality of human suffering. And it did happen. It did happen, but not specifically one individual, but there were multiple individuals who suffered throughout the ages. And their suffering, they had conversations and discussions, and Sefer Eiv is a book that Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, it summarizes the history of suffering in this world by creating a person, a fictitious character called Eiv, but it's not fictitious. This person really did exist, but not in one moment in time, in one in era. He is a composite of all the different opinions of the different eras. So the same thing, and here comes the question, the same thing to say this, you could argue, this is very, treading on very, very dangerous ground. Okay, so I know people. It's very serious, I said, like this. So don't shoot the messenger yet, later. And that is, Mashiach is not one person. We've been in Golus for 1,953 years. Every generation, there were people who were eligible to be the Melech HaMashiach. They are Mashiach. Lubavitcher Rebbe. You want to go sit in Chassam Shem. You want to go, you want to go to Chafetz Chaim. You can give 100 names of people that were the Gedolim or that could have been the Melech HaMashiach. And Mashiach is a composite of all of the greatest people who lived throughout time, and they could have, and if we had the merit, they could have been the Nachar Pash, the Makim Pakish, where the whole world would have changed, the Mashiach, that they would be revealed to all as the Mashiach, and the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt, and we live happily ever after. It didn't happen, but just because it didn't happen, it doesn't mean they were not Mashiach, and it doesn't mean that this generation is not a Mashiach. Every
Mashiach
generation
is not a person; it's an idea.
It's both. It's both. I mean, I'm telling you, there are things in which I don't agree with. But some, just like we explained, I gave Eiv as an example. Mr. Rules, are you accepting of that interpretation of Eiv?
Yes.
It's the same thing for Mashiach.
Like the 10 martyrs. It wasn't exactly
a composite. It's a compact, right. Well, the 10 martyrs is a little more because they give them names. They actually put names. But the truth is, there are many names. And the truth is, if you go over the Kiyutim, we always mention this. We have a record, I got 41 piyutim from the Rishonim. I have a book that's all the piyutim from the Rishonim that we only focus on two of them, on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. But there are out there, I think, over 40 piyutim. And when you read the piyutim and it mentions names, they're not the same. If you would compile all of the candidates of the 10 martyrs, it comes out to 23. So who are the martyrs? Who are the Asara Halugim Alphas? If you compile the 41 piyutim that are available, you have about 23 candidates who are who can be the Asara Halugim Alphas.
So somebody weaved all the stories into one stream.
It wasn't the same period of time either.
It wasn't necessarily the same period of time. It was at least, at the very least, it's 52 years. And if you want to go make it even more, you could probably, you could spread it over even a longer period of time. The same way we say that by the Malchus, I think it's a little different, but it's by Eoif, it's the same thing for Mashiach. Mashiach is not necessarily one person, one individual. We're dealing with a span of time of 1,000 already since the Bayis Shem. And if you want to include, some will tell you, it's not just the Bayis Shem. The process of Mashiach begins with the building of the Bayis Rishon, the beginning of the Bayis Shem. So go in another 420 years.
Across the 70.
It's another 70, exactly. And you want to talk about Mashiach. Mashiach is a very long process. And that very long process, there are many great holy people, for real, not make-believe holy people, real holy people, that have stepped up to the plate and have served a role as being an inspiration, as being a person who brings down to this world bracha, incredible insight, and the leadership. They are a holy of Mashiach. They are part of this composite of this figure, Mashiach. It's not necessarily one person. The last person that will be present when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt and will, under his leadership, will be part of that composite of Melech HaMashiach.
Well, you could say that it's all one person, one entity person that keeps on appearing.
Gilgul and Shamas.
And being represented.
Okay, that's a Kabbalistic approach. I'm not a big fan of that, you know. That's a Kabbalistic approach. That is, the Shana keeps on re-emerging. But you don't need to even
it's
say that.
It's all the same person, just appearing.
You don't need to say that. You can, why can't you say that it's multiple people, just like by Eon? There are multiple people who suffer. These people had very, very deep suffering, with very deep attempt to understand the nature of suffering. And we take all those people together and we morph them into one fictitious figure. These are real people, they really existed. We take all of them and we morph them together into one fictitious person. And the Gemara says, Eiv lo hoyvo nivra. There's no such thing as, it's just a mushroom hoy. How do you dismiss that? The Mepharim say, no, we take all the opinions together. There are 8 opinions. Who is Eiv? We put them all together. There was no one real person. There were multiple people who suffered and had a great attempt to understand the nature of suffering, and we take all of them together and create one person that morphs them all together. Mashiach is the same thing. It's the same thing. There will be another person, certainly that will be the Machir of Hattish, will be the Machir Punch, that will reveal himself and provide guidance that is exceptional and accepted by all the blessings that we mentioned about Melech HaMashiach. But throughout the generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a taste of the Melech HaMashiach, and each one's contribution is a chelek of this Melech HaMashiach. So you tell what's going to happen with all this, is the Melchemes Goy Gumagoy going to happen before the arrival of Melech HaMashiach? Is the Melchemes Goy Gumagoy going to happen afterwards? Who's going to be part of this Melchama? This sukkah, according to the Mitzvah stuff, is describing one little picture, and that is, he's going to come before, and then there's going to be battle stations. Everyone get to your battle stations, and people are going to have to, nations are going to have to choose sides. Mila Hashem Elai. And there's going to be a nation called Tsar. Who is Tsar? We always like to use the musical chairs syndrome. Theorem, the musical chairs theorem. In every generation, who is Mitzrayim in this generation? Who is Edom in this generation? Who is Yishmael? Who is Yishmael? Who is Amalek? In every generation, every couple of years, you look, you study the world. Ah, Russia. Russia is Mitzrayim. And then 10 years later, no, America is Mitzrayim. And then you look at another couple, you say the European Union, they're Mitzrayim. Afghanistan, they are Yishmael. No, next generation will say France is Yishmael. Okay, it's all true. In every generation, you have to study what's going on in geopolitics and have a thorough grasp, a depth of understanding of Tanakh, understand the ideology of Yishmael, the ideology of Esav, the ideology of Amalek, the ideology of every nation, and then look at geopolitics and understand who are the players. And if you understand how they operate, you'll be able to build them. And Rachel, you say something, I apologize to you online. I'm having a lot of trouble with the sound.
Obviously, ideology is more important than biology.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Who says today that the Arabs are blood descendants of Yishmael? Yet everyone is so... Some of them. Palestinians, no. The big experts, you know, the people who are living.
But since Islam was a conquered nation, like the Persians, so
they converted. Exactly, and who says everyone in Europe and America are blood descendants of Edom? Impossible. I'm sorry.
Never mind.
Okay, let's go further. So this is this level. Let me read the Psalm again according to the Mitzvah Sun. So that goes, Shimri Das. David is speaking. I'm assuming that it's David, the composer of this Mizmar. Listen, Vas. Who is the Vas? Vas is
by the way, Vas, I believe, is a term for subordinate.
Subordinate. Those who are subordinate, who are those that are subordinate? The nations of the world. Shimri Das. Listen, I'm addressing the nations of the world. Listen, Uri'i, and understand. The Hati Osnech, listen carefully. The Sheikh Chi Amech, I'm telling you to forget your previous allegiances, your previous loyalties to other nations. Now is a time to make a new decision. Whose side of the battle do you want to be on? Although in the past you may have joined forces with other nations, now I want you to forget history.
Your nation, Amir, your nation.
Abarth.
Perish Arid.
Your national loyalty.
The Perish Arid.
Yeah, look what he says. Shimmy Bast.
One second, where's the Perish Arid? Okay, Shimmy Bast, Zugi Namo. Okay, how am I this? In Rechav, okay, because apparently, where is he? He's learning in the Mahalakha, who's the subject? Okay, well, maybe we'll come to that in a few moments. But right now, we're going to the Mitzvah side. The Mitzvah side, this is the beauty of this Mizmar. This Mizmar we spend a lot of time on. Because this Mizmar has so many, every one of the Mepharshim has a different opinion as to who is the subject. The Mitzvah side learns the subject is the Melech HaMashiach. Rashi learns the subject is Talmidei Chachomim. The Malba learns the subject is Shloimoi HaMelech. Okay, the Rid is learning something similar. Shimi became Moses. Zuli Na'ama HaMoides Im Rechavam O Yesh Lama Zogi Bas Paroi Shememar Ayikach Es Bas Paroi Shemoso Shlomo Lisha. It seems that the Rid is learning something very similar to what it says in Malba. And we're dealing with Shloimoi HaMelech. We're dealing with the lifetime of David, literally the time of David, I don't know if I see, was alive. And David now is marrying off his son, Shiloimai. And we're describing over here things related specifically to that time period. In any event, according to this, little Melech Mashiach, and also it's important to mention, we're dealing with the future. We're dealing with the time of Bias HaMashiach. Listen, Vas. Oh, it's another interpretation. Very good. Because the Targum learned that the subject was the Sanhedrin. of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of Chorav going up against Korach, the rebellion of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's a whole different approach. You're right, unfortunately I'm not prepared enough that he learned the other. Each one of Kimat, every single one of the commentators on this page has a completely different understanding of this mitzvah. The question is, who is the subject? There is an anchor, there is a centerpiece. And every word of this mitzvah has is focusing on that centerpiece. Who is the centerpiece? Mitzvah, the Melech HaMashiach. And that forces us to go forward into the future, into an event that did not yet happen, or at least an event that is currently unfolding in front of us. Whereas according to Rashi, we're dealing with even something more esoteric. Talmidei Chachamim, he mentions Gan Eden once, talks about the reward in the next world. Also, it's also something very esoteric. According to the Malbim, the Malbim seems to want to go back in time and take out your Shmuel and your Sefer Melachim and study the life of David and Shlomo, his son, and fully comprehend the events that happened in their life, and plug that into the Pesukim over here. That might be a little bit easier because you have a lot more material to work with to fully comprehend. But right now, Shmi Vas, according to the Mitzvahs, we're addressing the word Vas are the nations of the world. We're calling them Vas, as Rabbi Chol explained. Vas in the Talmud means someone subordinate. A woman, especially a daughter, is under the authority of her father or husband. And so therefore, the nations that are subordinate, that are Tofel, listen carefully, pay attention. The Shikhi Ameh, the first thing is
Tofel to who?
To Klal Yisrael, to a superior leader. Whether it's going to be the Melech HaMashiach or it's going to be Gilgal Malach, it seems to this competition, according to this competition, there are two charismatic, powerful leaders, Goyg Umogoyg, and versus the Melech HaMashiach. Okay, there are two teams. Okay, it's not for nothing that this world we're obsessed with sports. Okay, sports, you have two teams. You have two teams. When the Mashiach will come in, there'll be only two teams in a battle for control of the world. Goyg u'Magoyg versus the Melech HaMashiach, which is Klal Yisrael. And the nations of the world are now being told, choose sides. You can't be powerful. You have to decide mi la Hashem elai. And don't, this is a very important instruction.
You're with me or against me.
You're with me or against me. Mi la Hashem elai, in la Hashem l'chu acharav, v'im la baal l'chu acharav. Lo ma'atam poseh al shnei ha-se'ifim. You can't be both, and you can't be no, you can't be part. You have to choose a side. No, there's going to be polarization. That's what it says over here. And here's the chiddush. Don't study history.
Don't.
Yeah, that's what it's saying. Or now you go to the course in history. Oh, you have to study history because you have to, because history repeats itself. Here he's saying, forget what happened in the past. Don't align yourself with nations that in the past were good to you, which you have a familiarity or an association. This is a new deck of cards. It's a new deck of cards. This is the battle of the world. Shekhi Aneich Uvei Sonich. It's a powerful passage.
All this is what's making me wondering now, what were our people saying during World War II? If they would read these psukim.
They were worried if they're going to live or die. They didn't have time to think about this. When you're worried about life, they don't have time to think about all this, the results. Okay? You can spend years studying all of the kavanis of what you're supposed to think when you blow shofar. Tekiya, all the shemais, and when you blow the shofar, what do you think? Just get the sound out. You know it's not a joke.
I know it's not a joke when I blow shofar, but the funny part is, I was always afraid to say something.
Just get the sound out. No, it comes from, you can study, it's so true, you say chanukah. You can sit and study all the books of Chanukah, and then it finally comes Chanukah, and what happens?
Yeah,
just, my wife is not home, I have to wait until 10 o'clock to light candles, and then we have to go to a Chanukah party, and What are all these esoteric things we learned about Hanukkah? You don't got time for this. Just light the candles and move on. And make sure you give the children what their presents, their money, and v'chulu.
Because the bottom line is Shalom Bayis trumps it all.
No, because the bottom line is Hanukkah is the whole year.
Say Trump.
The bottom line is Hanukkah is the whole year. Pesach is the whole year. Purim is the whole year. When people spend an enormous amount of time mastering a certain mitzvah, whether it's Hanukkah, people they spend the whole year putting on a Haggadah. Okay, they work for someone, they're writers, they're editors, and they have a major project, a major new Haggadah, they do research, and then it comes their Pesach Seder. Oh, one of my kids is not feeling well, I have to go do this, and my wife wants this. And I have to one day go to my father-in-law, and it's miserable. You spent years mastering the Haggadah, and now it comes time to close your eyes and the experience, the collective knowledge of everything you've worked. I'm now going to express it in a 2-hour Seder. Zero. Zero. It's not a loss. You go through the motions, that's right, because what else could you do most of the time? You go through the motions, but the appreciation of what it's all about is with you every single day of the year. Although you may spend years learning the kavanas for Tekiya Shofar, and when it comes to Lacha Lemaisa, just blow the shofar. People are hungry. People want to eat. We want to eat. Doesn't mean that the kavanas went away. Those kavanas are in your head for the rest of your life. When it's Pesach, you're a different person because you've mastered the understanding of what those kavanas are. You take with you Hanukkah, Purim, Pesach, Sukkot, the lessons throughout the entire year. So during World War II, they were just running for their lives. You read these biographies, these memoirs. No one had any kavanas, Mashiach, Gemara. The question is, am I going to live or die? Davis, that's all of us. No one had Groyseka, he had Tishabov, and these inspirational speakers, they start telling you about Tishabov and World War II. Come on. It's all very nice, it's all very true and important. Halacha l'maaseh, people that lived during that time didn't have such kavanas. It was a battle for survival. And we learn these things. It impacts you. It impacts the way you live your life. But when it comes to the moments of time when you have to actually perform zecher, it's a different story. And it's not a contradiction. Let's focus. So again, when we go over here, this part of your family, and we're giving instructions to all the nations to pay close attention and to choose sides. And do not let your decision be influenced by your past affiliation, association with another nation. There may be another nation that has chosen to take the side of Goy Gumo Goy. They believe they're going to be the winners. You always want to be part of the winning team. And they're going to go, and you're their best buddy. Well, but if he goes to Goy Gumo Goy, I also go to Goy Gumo Goy. Because that's what I've always done my whole life, my whole existence. David HaMelech says, don't. It's a new slate. Don't feel compelled to do what you've always been doing. Make a good decision. Forget about your previous affiliations and make a good decision now in recognizing Hashem. Pasuk Yud Beis, the Yisof HaMelech. And when you will make the correct decision, the Melech, means the Melech HaMashiach, will have a desire for you. He will be your friend. He will befriend you. He will bestow upon you blessing. And the Yisof HaMelech Yofiach, your beauty, the beauty of your good decision, your good deeds, and making the proper decision to join the Melech HaMashiach. He who Adonach, because the Melech HaMashiach is truly your true master. The Hishtachavilo, and you should bow to him. Don't bow to Goy Umogor. Don't be impressed by all of the things they have to offer. And now he brings a proof. And he's over here, the one coming to give high praise to the king of Tsar. And Mitzad Shady is using Tsar as a dogma for all the undecided. Look who's selected. Look, a political candidate. Look who endorsed this candidate, this macher, this big macher. He gave an endorsement for this candidate. So don't you think you also should follow that, vote for that candidate? Look, Uvas Tsar. Look at the kingdom of Tsar. B'mincha Ponayich.
B'shtachat V seems like a little wrong tense or something.
It's a poetic form of bowing down. B'shtachat V, you, it's a command. B'shtachat V loy, you, the nations, should bow before the Melech HaMashiach. It's a command. That's the past tense. That's they will bow. The Hishtach means they will bow. The Hishtach Hazi means you should bow. It's a command. The Hishtach Hazi loy, you should bow to him. Next, Uvas Tsar. Yes? Speak loud so I can hear you.
Sorry. When we speak about Tsar, now, in David's time, Tsar certainly existed, was an ally, but into the future, we know what happened to Tsar, right? It disappeared. It was wiped out.
Okay, so I don't know.
In that case, it's a metaphor, right?
Here, according to the Mitzubas, let's not confuse this with Malmo. The Mitzubas learned to deal with Melech HaMashiach. And obviously, saying the time of Melech HaMashiach is going to be a nation called Tsar. They disappear from the disappear of the face of the earth, and what are you talking about?
Or into the sea, as we have learned.
Yes,
right?
I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means, but there is a
unless
quote.
It's just a metaphor for a rich and powerful nation.
That's what it sounds like. It's a metaphor for some nation by the nation called Tsar. B'mincha Ponayich with a gift. It's like this week's parasha. This week's parasha, Yaakov, you know, he sends a gift to Esav, b'mincha, with a gift, comma, put a comma, b'mincha, ponayich.
How do we know there's, you know, a tire?
Right.
A northern port city.
But tire doesn't exist today. The old tire.
It was a port city.
It seems like it was an island which sunk, disappeared. And in fact, in the Mediterranean, there are a whole collection of islands that we know were once very popular places. They have all these artifacts buried deep down. They're gone. They sunk. What happened to them?
The mainland and
Lebanon.
The civilization or the
yeah.
people.
Their ideology.
The entire, you know, the country. You know, the land is still there, north of Eretz Israel.
Well, that's the question. The question is Lebanon, is there a section of Lebanon today that is the ancient Tyre, or where it's much more mashma, is that Tyre was an island. It was an island
off the coast,
in the Mediterranean. And that island somehow disappeared from the face of this earth.
There are islands
yeah. deep in the Mediterranean.
Islands, but usually Tyre is the mainland.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Okay. That's.
They say the legend of Atlantis is derived.
Atlantis
from
is Tyre. The legend of Atlantis is some type of island which they do their islands.
No,
in
an undersea. An undersea kingdom.
I don't know. I have no idea. No idea. Okay,
by
so
the way, Hiram Melech Tsar was
Shlomo Melech.
Most partly, beyond the Mikdash.
He was Shlomo's nemesis. He went and was a partner with Shlomo in building the Bayis Rishon. He sent
later,
men, materials.
Later, and the Nevi'im later talk about how the king of Tsar thought himself to be a god, and Hashem wiped
the
him
bracha of Asher Yotzar, the bracha of Asher Yotzar, Nikovim Chalulim, that comes from a negative description of Melech Tsar. I don't remember the details, but what we say in Asher Yotzar is taken from a description of Melech Tsar, that he's a nobody. That he thinks he's God, but the truth is he's really a nobody. All right, anyway,
let's go further. Uvasar b'vasar kama b'mincha, with a mincha, ponayich yichalu ashirei om. It's very hard to translate the words. We'll go back and see them to this, but it basically means is that the king of Tsar will approach the Melech HaMashiach. The word ponayich means your face. The subject of ponayich is the Melech HaMashiach. He will deliver a gift, and the purpose of the gift is to supplicate, to find favor in the eyes of the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach should favor him, and the kingdom of Tsar, it's not just him. It's going to include the wealthiest people of the world. Tsar represents the Ashirei Om, the wealthiest of the nations. So if you look at this pasuk at face value, you would say that America has turned into Tsar. America is that island that's to the west. The Americas is the island to the west of Eretz Yisrael. That's quite a stretch, right? But is it meant to be taken literally? Today, who today is recognized as being the wealthiest nation in the world? America. There's nothing to talk about. America. China is trying very hard. China is has a very difficult economy. They have a lot of problems in China. But America, it used to be, I mean, hopefully, I don't know what's going to be anymore with this economy and our leadership here in this country. But America was, without question, was the wealthiest nation in the world. So when it says over here in this pasuk, the Ashirei Om, the kingdom of Tsar, is going to give a gift to the Melech HaMashiach. And who? The last two words of Ashirei Om is a description of Vasar. Vasar is not just some third world nation that you never heard of and can't pronounce. The Tsar is the Spitz. It's the Ashirei Om. It's the wealthiest nation. They will approach the Melech HaMashiach and will present a gift as a attempt to find favor in the eyes of the Melech HaMashiach. Now, by the way, what is the gift? This gift is described in very great detail in Sefer Yeshaya. What is the gift that the Melech Tsar, who is the wealthiest nation of the world, that will present to the Melech HaMashiach? What could you give? What could you give them? What do you say? Ships? Boats? No, planes? You give them the Iron Dome? What are you going to give them? Some new technology? Give them the vaccine, a free vaccine, don't have to pay for it? No, they're going to give them neshamos. Neshamos, they can open the records and they're going to search the land high and low. Who is a Jew? Mi Yehudi. They're going to go through all the records, bring out all the CIA records and trace the lineage of every single citizen in the country. And they're going to discover, you know, there's a guy who lives somewhere in some state that no one even knows about in Wisconsin. And do you know that this guy, he drives a motorcycle and doesn't know even what a Jew is? He thinks Jews have, if he even knows, he thinks they have horns. And according to the records of the CIA, this person is a Ben Achar Ben from Rashi, from Rabbeinu Tam, from the Chassam Sofer, Chveistisht. And they're going to say to the Melech HaMashiach, you see this neshama? They're going to come to his house, they're going to arrest him. They're going to tie him up and they're going to say, what did I do? You're coming with us. They're going to put him on a plane and they're going to present him to the Melech HaMashiach. You see this person? He doesn't have a bris milah. He doesn't know what Shabbos is. He doesn't know the Aleph Beis. He's a Jew. He's a Ben Achar Ben from Avraham Avinu. And therefore, he's yours. He's yours. He has a holy neshama. It's a miracle of miracles that his mother, you know, that all the way down, he didn't get messed up. Okay, he didn't lose it somehow. But he's a Jew. He has a holy neshama. He's yours. Fix him up. Polish him up. Take him. We don't want him in America. He's a Republican. Take him. He's yours. Take him. They're going to present the Melech HaMashiach. What could you give a person who has everything? What are you going to give him? A tie? You're going to give him a new gartel? I always tell you, a gartel is a tie is a litvish gartel. The Hasidim have a gartel around their waist to separate the heart from the erva. A litvak separates his mind from his heart. So he puts around his neck a gartel, a tie. A tie is a litvish gartel. You know that? It's a litvish gartel. So what are you going to give the Melech HaMashiach? What could you give the man that has everything? It's, this says in Sefer Yeshaya. You give him a neshama.
The whole purpose of the gartel is evil as erva.
So by the litvax, it's that the litvax is to be cold, is to be very cold and not let your emotions get to you. You just shuckle, follow the rules, no emotion. It's a nasty. It's a nasty. What's it called? Whatever it is.
Stereotype.
It's a stereotype of a litvak. Litvaks are cold. Chassidim are warm. So the litvaks, they don't want to be influenced by their heart. They want just their mind. They want to live a world of just follow the rules. So you have to make a gartel to be mavdil between the mind and the heart. Chassidim, the heart and mind is one. They have to separate from the...
They're all those heavy outfits. No wonder they're warm.
They're taivis. Okay, going back to our discussion, they're going to give the Melech HaMashiach a gift. What is the gift? It says here, Uvas Tsar, the kingdom of Tsar. We have to read the pasuk out of order. The Bas Tsar, who are the Ashirei Am. Okay, it's always very beneficial to read the pasuk, the words of the pasuk, in a different order to make sense out of the pasuk. The kingdom of Tsar, who is the Ashirei Am, the wealthiest nation on the world. You know what they're going to do when they see the Melech HaMashiach? B'mincha. They're going to take a gift. And the gift they're going to take is going to be with a mincha. Ponayich yichalu, your ponim, your face. They will attempt to supplicate, to find favor. To you, the Melech HaMashiach, they will present you with a gift. And what is the gift? So it says over here, one of the mafarshim on the page, I can't remember where I saw it on the page over here. Go look in Yeshaya. The gift that the wealthiest nation of the world will present Melech HaMashiach will be neshamos of Klal Yisrael. That is what? A bas? He's saying the word bas is the gift. Tsar, who is the Ashirei Am, b'mincha, a mincha of bas. All right, I don't know. Bas. Okay. All right. It's a little bit of a stretch, but if that satisfies you, I'm it's okay. But it's a perishing yeshua. They're going to give neshamas. It's a very beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing, and it's interesting. If you want to go, we start off today, we're talking about over here that don't read the psukim literally. America has made, look at the revolution of the Baalei Teshuvah. The Baalei Teshuvah. Now today the Baalei Teshuvah movement really, unfortunately, is not just slowed down, pretty much came to an end. Pretty much. Okay? It's been already like that for you. You have to read the book, The Man of the Wall, Schuster? What was his name?
Mayor Schuster.
Yeah. Mayor Schuster, Art Scroll, Yonason Rosenblum. Rabbi Yonason Rosenblum, one of Art Scroll's best writers they ever had. He hasn't really written very much lately. Okay, he writes articles in the Mishpacha, but he used to write for Art Scroll. He wrote for Art Scroll many, many books. He has not written a book in 10 years for Art Scroll. And he came out about a year ago after 10 years of not publishing any sefer for Art Scroll, published a biography of Meir Schuster. It is an unbelievable biography. Unbelievable, man of the world. What? He was one of the biggest, most successful people involved in creating, I don't know what the right words are, in finding and inspiring Baalei Teshuva. And fostering Baalei Teshuva. He would go to the Kohel HaMaravi, and he would basically talk to people, and many, many, probably thousands, found their way because of him into different institutions in Eretz Yisrael. He eventually made his own institution, and it was only because of him. But then later in his life, it came to an end. came to an end. It didn't. You can go to the Kaisel. You can stand. There was no one at the Kaisel anymore to talk to. It was an era. It was an era where you could pick up these people off the street. They would come to the Kaisel. There was just something going on in the world. There was an avira. There was a you want to say it's something spiritual, or you want to say it's just, it was a time of history where thousands of people became Baalei Teshuvah. And all you had to do was tap them on the shoulder and talk to them and a little bit and introduce them to other people and bang. And today they have these beautiful families. If you try to do that today, it's very hard. Go to the Kaisel, even he himself, Meir Shuster, the last years of his life, he had no one to talk to anymore. He was a different tekufa. He did other things. They write about that in the book. It's a fantastic, fantastic biography written by one of their best, Rabbi Jonas and Rosenblum, and it's really an amazing read. And so what I'm trying to say is that this bracha of the Mitzudos David has already come true. America, without a shadow of a doubt, at least back then, in the 80s and the early 90s, and even the 70s, the 80s and 90s, is the Ashireyam. It is the Tsar. It is the Bas Tsar, the musical chair theorem. Every generation, who is Mitzrayim? Who is Tsar? Who is Yishmael? America was the Bas Tsar. And America, certainly then at least, fit the description of the Ashireyam. And what did they do? They created an environment, whether they realized it or not, where people had freedom, they had enough parnasa, enough wealth, where they began to search for meaning in life. Once you know you have everything, you don't have to worry about parnasa. There are no wars, you're comfortable, and you're beginning to pursue a career. And, you know, you look around in society, you see an emptiness of life, and you're searching for more meaning. And what happens? There are certain conditions that are present which allow a person to seek spirituality. And it made it very easy to tap them on the back and say, would you like to speak to a rabbi? Would you like to speak to a wise man? Would you like to come for Shabbos? And before you blink, thousands of neshamos that would have gone to waste have been returned to Klal Yisrael. So this pasuk has already happened and continues to happen, not on such a grand scale anymore, but it continues to happen. The Vassar, the Ashireyam, b'mincha, with a gift, Ponayich Yichalu. They are presenting the Melech HaMashiach. Who's the Melech HaMashiach? The Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael. Man Malkei Rabbanan. There are great individuals in Klal Yisrael who have a Me'ein of the Melech HaMashiach. And the Amalchus that is peaceful, secure, and provides the right conditions, it creates an ability for people to come to Hashem. For them to offer a mincha to Klal Yisrael, the mincha being the neshamos. All right, the Mitzvah David, I believe, is very deep. Let's see over here Rashi for a few moments, then we're going to have to stop. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shin Yivas. Now we have to remember, according to Rashi, we have to change gears. We're discussing over here that we're discussing Rashi, the Talmidei Chachamim. We're not discussing the Melech HaMashiach. Shin Yivas, Uri. Shimi, so then who is going to be the Vas? Knesses Yisrael. We're not discussing here any longer the nations of the world. Knesses Yisrael, Ru'i HaDerech HaTov. Look at the lifestyle of Talmidei Chachamim. Look at the dugma. Over here, we're using the Talmidei Chachamim, people devoted to the study and learning of Torah and the ethics, the morals of Torah. Look at them. Look at the lifestyle that they lead. Look how good it is. It's very, very true. A lot of people are very critical, you know, in America, go back after World War II, 70 years ago, come to America, learning, yada yada yada, a person would go learn in Kollel. After high school, you go to college and you dive in to make a parnasa. You're going to devote yourself to spend a significant amount of time to study Torah, to go to Kollel for a few years. You lost your marbles. And today,
people don't look at it like that. Even people who are critics appreciate the lifestyle of Talmidei Chachamim. Look at the alternative. Look what happened to all the American society. Totally, it just not even nasa. You can even imagine this thirst to be a meshuga. It's unbelievable what's going on. Shimi Kineses Yisrael Uri Haderech Hatoiv. No, it doesn't. It's not an easy life, that's for sure. But look, v'hati oznech la Torah, bend your ear to the study of Torah. V'shikhi amechu umay sha'at gedel beinehem. Don't follow the values of the nation you live in. Don't go woke. Don't get involved. It's such a terrible. I went to the Aguda convention. It just goes to show how my mind is poisoned. I go to the Aguda convention. You go to a hotel. Now the hotel, it used to be the standard. It used to be a Goisha hotel. It still is. It's obviously they have a lot of non-Jewish events at this hotel. It's now been purchased by a Jew, and they've left the.
It was Jewish. It was owned by Chicago before. But originally
it was owned by a guy. And you know, all of the trimmings of the Goyish world are still in the hotel. So I mean, I go to the bathroom, the restroom, and I see men, women, right? Oh. And I say, oh wow, look at that. There's no gender neutral bathroom. Baruch Hashem. Then I said to myself, just the fact that I had that thought and I see men, women, and oh, Baruch Hashem, they still don't have is a sickness. Because 5 years ago, I wouldn't even know what that means. I wouldn't even have a hava mean to think, to have that machshava.
So that just happened to me, and I don't know which way I should have been thinking. I was in the lounge in the airport. There was a whole bunch of Jews in the lounge. It happened to have been on the which Yisrael side. It was the lounge there. And I'm sitting there, and this woman, a front woman, with a whole bunch of, and she comes and she says, I can't see it. I didn't realize it. I went to the bathroom here, and when I went to the sink, there were men and women there. I said, I was just in that bathroom right before that. There's a stool, you're going through the door, there's whatever, they're washing it. There's a room. It didn't dawn on me, men, women. You just...
The sickness.
It was just...
Even an Eretz Yisrael.
I think it's great.
But this from woman, she was freaked out. I said, it was the washing area that was... Everybody had their own room there.
Okay.
But she was like so taken
aback. The Shichi Ameich. Over here, according to Rashi, this pasuk was written for our generation. Don't pay attention to the values of society. Forget about Ameich, your nation. You're an American citizen. You're a European citizen. You're a citizen of this country, that country. The whole world has gone meshuga. Forget about it. Don't pay attention. V'shichimich ho'umois, the nations, sha'at gidela b'neihem, uves ovich, your father's home, another term referring to where you come from, your nation, avoid the zora sha'avdu avosayich be'ever hanar, don't follow as a metaphor, don't go after avoda, strange service, strange things, according to Rashi, that we are describing the ways of the Torah, so when it says that the Melech will have a desire for you, it means Hashem will have a desire for you. According to Rashi, when it's Melech HaMashiach, according to the Mitzudas, Melech HaMashiach means the Melech HaMashiach will like you. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisaveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lenoy Maasech Uvasar B'mincha Panech Yichalu Kimoy Vayichal Moshe. What does this mean? Uvischar Zeh Tiski sheyavi lich esof harasha eshgorim vidoyroin. Now, what does it mean, eshgorim? I don't know what this means. So, Michal, may I have a translation for this word? Eshgorim vidoyroin oisom shehem achshav ashirei om. So, if Klal Yisrael will behave themselves, then Melech Tsar, which is according to Rashi, is a placeholder for Esav, this week's parasha, they will come and bow down to you. Esav will come to Klal Yisrael and will say they Esav. Basar means Esav. It's a code word for they're a descendant of Esav, Edom, who are the Ashirei Om. They will present gifts to the Jewish nation, to Klal Yisrael. Okay, I don't know if we see that. It was Chayz Atiski Shayovi Loch Esav Harasha Eshkorim Vidoroin.
I'm reading, but I don't see anything about Esav in here.
In this edition, it's
Hashem, the king Hashem, will desire.
That's go to the next pasuk, 13.
Yeah.
Next pasuk, that was 12.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, as a reward for this, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You did this by Yechal Moshe.
Yeah. Kimova, the word, the middle Yechalu means they will supplicate.
The teachers of the people will bring you tribute and gifts.
Tribute. The word Eshkardim, I never heard this word before. Eshkardim means tribute. Tribute and gifts. So Basar is a code word for Esav. Esav will acknowledge your greatness and they will present you gifts. That has definitely not happened. That has not happened. Now,
Nobel Prize.
Anti-Semitism is off the charts. Right. We live in a very dangerous world. All right, we're going to stop here, take a short break, we'll learn some Chumash in a few moments.